Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm going to do the intro today. I'm going to do a great job of it. Welcome to the next episode of Fuck Yeah Doctor Who with my favourite microplastic, Dan. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, did your phone just go?
My phone just went off as we were talking.
You completely fucked it. You completely
keep rolling, keep rolling,
and then a bit of microplastic on your desk.
That's right. That's right. The microest of all plastics.
Hi, I'm a why am I microplastic?
Look, okay, I had to work with what I had. It was either that or my favorite contagious disease, Dan. You know,
I'd much rather be your favorite contagious disease.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're not going to redo it. We're going to carry on. This is all in the show now. This is the level of professionalism.
We like to run on the same budget that original Doctor Who had. So about £4 we have to make this on, and that includes renting this microphone.
So sorry, I'm going to put my phone on silent. I'm so sorry.
Oh my god. Oh, my phone. Let me just check my phone. Oh, already on silent. Yes, because I'm
you're a
professional.
Well, you're more used to this than me.
Also, because I'm a millennial and I haven't had my phone on any form of noise since the year 2005.
I'm very sorry.
Just because you have important messages. Everyone I talk to is in this fucking office with me. Hey, Rebecca. Rebecca waved. But anyway, so this is a Doctor Who podcast. So let's start by talking about Picard.
Let's do it.
As always, full spoilers for
Picard and Doctor Who.
Series 12, episode 6. Praxeus. What was it? Praxeus.
Yeah,
Praxeus. And we'll also talk about Picard season 1, episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I will briefly mention Avenue 5 very briefly.
Okay, well, let's do that then first, because I've not seen that. So
have you finished The Good Place yet, though?
So I love The Good Place, but my girlfriend's living away in Portland at the moment, so I'm waiting. I'm visiting her in a little while, so we're going to just binge the whole thing once I get there.
So I've now finished The Good Place, so here's full spoilers for
Place. No, don't you fucking dare. If you spoil The Good Place, this whole thing is over. It's not going to happen.
I won't. I started measuring the finale and how many times it made me cry.
I cry at least once an episode with Good Place. I love it so much.
It's going to kill you.
Yeah. There's the one big episode this series that's just custom designed to make you cry. I was bawling for about 20 minutes. It was amazing.
You think there's just one of those?
Oh, there's one there's one that's more so than the rest. I love it so much. I love it so much. And it's weird to have such a funny show about philosophy.
The guy who made The Office.
Yes. I saw the chap. I can't remember what his character name is. The stupid AI.
Derek.
I saw Derek because I went to at the John Wick premiere. I saw him there. And he looked very, very uncomfortable in a space full of people, which I was too, so it's fun.
Sounds about right.
So tell me about Avenue. Did Avenue 5 get good?
No.
Oh.
I like the first episode more than the second one. I'm not keen. I'm giving it one more. I'm not super... there's too many irritating characters... It's too big of an issue that directly affects him. It's weird to have everybody who's in charge in the show, because the glory of the thick of it and Veep is you never see
the Prime Minister
or President. Yeah. And this is about the Prime Minister's fucking Olaf.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there in half the scenes being incompetent. And it's more fun to have... There's got to be at least like one competent person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Capaldi... You know, you need that to tie it together. It's just a bunch of incompetents who, honestly, if they all die, I'd be like, yeah. that's where that goes.
I'll watch Death of Stalin for the 56th time. that sounds more fun.
I mean, would it be just the 56th time watching Death of Stalin? I don't know. Be quite high. I love that fucking film.
So good. Every single scene, it's magnificent. Yeah. Which is what made me so disappointed by Avenue 5. But we've already covered that ground, so let's move on. What do you think of Picard? Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I had a big debate over if it was right for it to say fucking, because it said fucking in one place and fecking in another, which you didn't clock because you're a grown up now. But I still,
you know,
like nails down a chalkboard. As much as I've got a book with a fucking fuck on the front of it. I still every time there's a swear on TV, I'm like, oh no,
oh no, he's broken the TV rules. So you're because this was I remember this being a big thing with Discovery, because Discovery they started using the F word quite a bit,
And yeah, I know for fun, because they could. Until he was like, fuck.
And then there were definitely, like a backlash of like Star Trek shouldn't be sweary.
And Star Trek shouldn't be sweary. If it's professionals in a professional setting in the Star Trek universe, it shouldn't be sweary.
Mm.
If it's Picard talking to an admiral when like a week earlier he went on the TV and went, you know what? Fuck the Federation.
Yeah.
And it comes to the admiral's like, I'd like a ship, please. She's allowed one fuck. That is, she earned one fuck because she didn't. Honestly, if she'd shot him, I would have gone like, no, I totally get where you're coming from. This mad old bastard just came in. He was like on the TV going, Federation is shit. They hate the Romulans. They hate everyone. Fuck them. Then he comes in like, the Federation's infiltrated by the Romulans. I'd like a ship to sort this out, please. Also, Data has a daughter. She's just like,
what?
Yeah. I'm about to ruin this man's career. She just turns. Honestly, I genuinely thought she'd turn around and get fucking Batleth off the wall and just chase him out of the office.
Just round the table, round and round.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never had a chill conversation with an ambassador, Picard, in fairness.
Like, has anyone in Star Trek ever done that?
No. And that's how it should be. That's how it should be.
Even Janeway didn't get on with Admiral Janeway. That's her.
That's a really good point, yes. You're absolutely right. That's fantastic. Yeah, it was that thing, and this feels like it's the case with a lot of like serialized TV, is it was definitely, this is the real pilot where we have to set up all the stuff for the series episode, because you have the first episode, which is like, we just need to get people on board, show them the stuff they like, oh, it's a tribble, move on.
And if then, Netflix made it, they'd beat the tits in that bit. That's
exactly,
the episode
yeah.
you put the titties in.
And then the second episode is, okay, we actually have to put all the pieces on the board. And it felt like that kind of episode where it was just like, just setting everything up. And I'm okay with that. Didn't blow me away, but like...
It was enjoyable?
It was.
I want to see a bit more.
I liked the techno babble in the computer searching scene was good techno babble.
Yes.
That felt like proper good Star Trek-y techno babble, where it's like, if you don't think about it too hard, it makes good scientific sense. Just
well, they've deleted everything. We'll just look around everything else, find the hole, and that is the shape of the thing that we're looking for.
Which is fine. Which that's is like that's it's good. I remember reading, because I'm this cool, the is it, what's his name? It wasn't Andre Benmanis, that's someone else. But the guy who was basically like the science advisor on Next Gen DS9 and Voyager, he wrote a book, and I remember reading it, and basically the foreword to the book was basically, all of the science in Star Trek is nonsense, but there's enough bits and pieces, my job is to give enough bits and pieces that people don't really notice that and enjoy it on that level.
Is that the physics of Star Trek, that book?
I think it was the science. I think it was the science of Star Trek, I think it was called.
Oh, I have the physics of Star Trek.
It might have been the physics of Star Trek, but it was very good.
I like how we have two. I hope that's two different books, because I'm really excited that there might be a book about the science of Star Trek.
No, I think no, it was definitely science, because it touched on like biology and stuff. I remember there's loads of them now as well, isn't there? There's a philosophy one that I got, because Quarantine Circular touched on, it has like a Starfleet-like idea in it, so I ended up buying the philosophy book just to kind of cheat basically the job of writing that and just like crib up on the political implications of a Starfleet. But anyway, I thought it was fine. I thought it was a good episode. I'm into it, but it wasn't like, there was nothing in there that absolutely jumped out. I think I tweeted about this, I love the new Elkar's interface, the computers. As someone who like spent my childhood remaking the screens from the show and sticking them on my walls because I was that cool, seeing what they've done with that and kind of to update it and make it look cool is really nice. Feels very rooted. It continues to feel rooted in Next Gen in a way that I wasn't expecting. It feels tethered to that world. It doesn't feel like it's... Discovery feels like its own thing in an interesting way, but like this feels like... Oh, we're just back in that world that I remember. That's cool.
Yeah.
That feels really
It feels like Star Trek. That's what it's got me at. It feels like Star Trek.
I think Discovery feels like Star Trek, but I think Discovery feels like old Star Trek. No, you don't think it does. No. Doesn't have that feel for you. Okay, fair enough. I'm definitely in the minority. I get that. Like,
oh yeah, totally. It feels like, for me, it's that J.J. Abrams Star Trek of just everything. If something hasn't exploded, the audience are bored. Make that thing explode. What about this? Could this virus make their clothes fall off? Let's make the virus make their clothes...
Like, to play devil's advocate just a little, because our audience loves in the comments mocking me for going and being devil's advocate. But isn't that what original Star Trek sort of was as well? Like, is
yes, but there is a reason I only have one original Starship in that massive fucking pile.
Right, so that's basically the point I'm making, is Discovery feels like a continuation of Kirk, Spock, Trek, and it works well for that. And I think this, in the same, it's very interesting. I only noticed it on the second episode in the title credits. It says I think it's the first Star Trek thing I've seen where it says based on Star Trek by Gene Roddenberry. They obviously all say that, but this one actually says based on Star Trek: The Next Generation by Gene Roddenberry. And that's a really I like that as a mission statement. That's kind of I'm sure it's actually not a mission statement. I'm sure there's some kind of complex trademark copyright reason why it's that. But at the same time, like, it's a nice, it feels like a continuation of that world, which I agree with you is more what I like. But I can respect Discovery in a different way.
See, for me, it was always like original series. Like, I appreciate that it was came out. What was it now? 653 years ago. Mm-hmm. 654 next year. Yeah,
that's right.
And I appreciate, you know, all the things that it did. But I feel like that was like, you know, when like a game comes out and it's like, you're like, oh man, the sequel of this is gonna fucking run. Outer Worlds is a great example. I play that and I'm like, yeah, I want the sequel to this game, because this game's got the ideas and it's got that like thing behind it, but the sequel to this game's gonna fucking rock. Mm. And I feel like for me, that's what original series is. So the obsession with original series just I find deeply confusing.
I think it's the pop culture thing, isn't it? It's that to the normal person who definitely wouldn't be listening to this podcast. The things they know about Star Trek are Spock, Tribble, Klingon. It's that original stuff. Borg and Romulans are more niche, like in terms of like people knowing what they are.
Yeah, but they're better.
I actually do agree with you. I do agree with you, but I can also, like, on a cynical level, understand why you would focus so much of the property on the old stuff that people know.
And then redesign it all. Klingons look different now. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we wanted them to be different. Make them different. I mean, like, it's the one that always throws me for a loop was Enterprise, because like I watched Next Generation, and then I watched Voyager Deep Space Nine, sure. And all that overlap, and then I went on to Enterprise, and then I watched original series, and I was like, oh man, this is like a porn parody of actual Star Trek. This is great, I love it, but it's not anything. But Enterprise always had that sort of like that as much as it felt earlier and they felt like sort of more test pilots pushing the edge of the final frontier was only 3 feet away from Earth sort of thing.
Sure.
Like the front, it was just everything was a frontier. You couldn't move for fucking frontiers in Enterprise. But I felt like they had that sort of like that Next Generation vibe of they were working to better themselves and all that sort of thing. And then like you watch Discovery and they just kind of feel like dudes in space.
No, I can totally get it. I can totally get the, yeah. I'm preferring Picard's Discovery, but I do like Discovery, so that's basically where I stand.
Well, where do you stand on the Orville?
I really don't like the Orville. Now, admittedly, this opinion is based on the first, I think, 3 or 4 episodes until I stopped watching it, and therefore, fine. Like, if anyone wants to say, well, it gets really good in season 2, episode 4, I don't have time. There's other TV shows. But the yeah, for me, it was just, it's the Zack Snyder Watchmen of Star Trek for me. It's the surface level kind of reproduction of stuff that is Star Trek Next Generation-y without understanding all the underlying stuff that I like about it in terms of it's like politics and philosophy and character and all of the stuff that I think Picard's starting to get right wasn't there for me in Orville. And maybe it gets better, and fair enough if it does. But it felt like a fanfic.
First 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally a fan.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, he's entitled to make that. That's absolutely cool, and I'm glad people like it.
And he's entitled to keep making that if you're listening, Seth, which you probably are. I'll tag you in it. You'll definitely listen to it then.
I hear Seth loves this podcast. I'm sorry, Seth.
Seth's a huge fan of this podcast. No, see, the Orville for me is just everything that Discovery wasn't doing, because Discovery was like, there's an alien, shoot it, or have sex with it, or get its tits out in some way, or say fuck at it. That's how I envision Discovery. But the Orville, I mean, like, by the second or third episode, the Orville's got, like, should we turn our child into a male because it's the females get completely shat upon in this universe? And I felt like that was really early on, kind of hitting that. They didn't nail it, but it showed that they were aiming for that sort of Star Trek thing.
Yeah, no, I think they were aiming for it. It just didn't click for me in that way. Yeah, I think what I like about Discovery is that it starts in that gung-ho place and then develops more and more into that as it goes on, which fits the serialization thing, I think. But to be honest, like, I don't know. I'm getting tired having this conversation just because I feel like the Discovery versus Orville conversation is so played out. But, like, yeah, just my personal taste. I mean, absolutely fair enough.
So you're just going to agree then that the Orville's better and we'll
if
on.
It ends this conversation.
I will state, I genuinely
minimizes
think
the
Orville...
10 messages I'll get saying I need to watch Orville Series 7 Episode 2 in order to understand why it's good.
No, I genuinely think, like, from
I can
like,
no,
three
I can
episodes,
I get
I was
it.
Totally into it,
and it wasn't bad.
They have the best televised space battle I've seen since like fuck it, I don't even
really?
Know, like sort of Battlestar Galactica shit. Yeah, they have this one space battle that's like this mid series episode suddenly becomes a two parter that really ups the stakes and really changes shit.
Okay, I will get to it at some point, I'm sure.
Basically, they, you know how in Next Generation quite early on they're like, oh, the Borg. Oh, and then the Borg spend the whole fucking series going, dun, dun, dun,
sure,
just getting closer.
Jawsing it up.
In this episode, they go, oh, the Borg. Fucking hell, the Borg! And the Borg are all up in their tits. It's great. It's so
okay.
good.
I will, for you, Dan, I'm going to give it another go at some point. But I do take a while. When I say that, it does take a while. I'm currently watching Big Love, which was a polygamy HBO show from like 2005, I think. So it takes me a little while to catch up with stuff. But
I'm watching... what is it we're watching? Justified. We're watching Justified.
Oh, is that any good? I've never watched that.
If you like Timothy Oliphant having all the cheats on while being a cowboy cop. I've only seen two episodes, but it's just like, I'm like, yeah, this is what men like.
I was a big... this is what men like.
It legitimately is. He's like what every man... You know, like in your shower, and you're like, if this happened, I'd be the coolest fucking motherfucker.
Okay, fair enough.
Written exclusively in the shower, while there's pictures of motorcycles attached to the bits of the shower, and cowboy hats and guns.
Nice. I like Deadwood, so I will go. I even liked that Die Hard movie he was in. Like, that was fine.
I thought you were about to say you even liked the fucking Hitman movie he was
in. That one I've not seen. No, I'm too much of a Hitman fan to ever watch any of the films. I imagine that would really
I've seen the first one. That had quite a lot of tits in it, apparently, as well, because that's what Hitman needs. Need someone to be like, look at
this. This podcast seems to be turning into Top Gear, and I'm not sure I agree to it.
No. I haven't said anything racist yet, thank you very much.
That's a very good point. Would you like to? Any opinions you've got you would like to share and torpedo this podcast?
Right. So... The Mexicans, right?
Jesus.
Lovely people. Genuinely a really nice people. I spent a little bit of time in Mexico. They were genuinely some of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. I know you said something really horrible, but I was kidding for someone else. I was like, no, let's keep this thing. Anyway, so I'm just going to... Yeah, the third episode is a thing. Fourth episode... Oh, if you stopped at the fourth episode, you missed the fifth episode where they're like, all right, we're going to fuck with time travel now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen at home. Because I bought the Orville on Google Play, I'm just going to hold this up to the webcam so Mike can watch the Orville
a whole episode
while we have our conversation. Yeah. This will be. There you go. Is that even on?
I will make you the promise, Dan. I will get to it at some point. Yeah. Now, that's Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
You've got
the big screen in the thing.
Oh, they're watching Seinfeld in the show.
They're watching it on the big screen.
Oh no. I think maybe that's why I bounced off. It was the comedy as well. I think maybe I like my sci-fi a little bit.
Oh,
Star
man.
Trek self-serious, maybe. I don't know.
See, the comedy is like, first episode is like, yay, we're like Family Guy in space. And by the last episode, it's like, everybody died and I'm all alone and there's no jokes ever again. And I'm like, yay. Like, the comedy is totally Trojan horse. In season 2, they barely bother with comedy.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's probably the thing you've said that's made me most interested in watching it. Yeah, okay.
They have like the odd little joke, but that's kind of they move on to more humanizing jokes for the sort of alien people. So I can't remember the names because it hasn't been on for years. But the two massive not Klingons,
right?
They're only men, so they're all in gay relationships, which is beautiful. I love that they're all like men society, and they're all going, I love you too, and I just think that's lovely. But one of them gets depressed at one point, and he's kind of like going through the replicator trying to get ice cream and shit and trying to work out what's the best like human depression food. And he ends up just sitting there just like eating Rocky Road ice cream and watching some old TV show that the captain recommended to him. And then he's at his husband just comes through and just stares at him. He goes, but it hits that level of
that's
it's not
nice.
Like, hey, this looks like a cock.
Yeah, maybe that's what put me off as well. I'll come back to it. 20 minutes in, let's talk Doctor Who.
So, Doctor Who, yeah. What's Doctor Who?
I think it's like Rick and Morty, but British, I think.
Oh, okay. Let's stop you fucking... I like Rick and Morty. What's your Rick and Morty opinions? Here we go. Fuck it. Diverted, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. More podcast.
We're off on a... I remember really enjoying the first couple of series of it. I think the most recent series, I didn't absolutely... There's been a few... I liked the heist episode. It was quite fun. Yeah. But like... Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those shows that like I really loved. I think it might be a victim of its own success. I think it might be heading in that direction where it's memeing and trying to be kind of trying to sell itself. Whereas when it was kind of this weird cartoon, it was interesting. Yeah. And I think it's just gone a little bit over the top. But it's good, and I love Harmon and Roiland's kind of stuff generally. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fuck, I love Dan Harmon. Dan Harmon is on my top list of, like, people whose work I appreciate who I never want to, under any fucking circumstance, work with in any way, ever. He seems like a fucking nightmare. He's a talented motherfucker, but I don't want to meet him. I just want him to go over there and do his thing.
I've met Roiland, I've never met Harmon.
I have a picture that he drew, Justin Roiland drew, in my house. He drew for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Random sketch thing.
That's cool. Nice. What do you mean? You meet him at something or?
No, I bought it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
The charity thing is like, I'll do a stupid sketch. We're like, I can't remember how much it was like 90 quid or something. Fuck it. And then I get a picture of like someone being shit on by like a Cupid thing.
Nice.
Yeah, just the sort of very Justin Roiland thing that you'd want. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
That's very cool.
I love that he has this one style of comedy in everything that he does. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're like, oh, this is a Justin Roiland thing. Okay.
Yeah, do you play the stuff he did with William Pugh, the Crows, Crows, Crows stuff? What's the game with the dude in the tree that was angry? What's that called?
Accounting.
That's great.
There's Trover Saves the Universe.
Not played that one yet. Is that good?
So it's on VR and I bought it on VR, but I played it originally on the Switch.
Okay.
And oh my God, because you play as a guy in a chair sitting down who teleports around places on the Switch. And I'm like, this is such a VR game. It's weird to have these controls. But it's good because you sort of teleport between your places, but you're controlling a character. So you're running a character around and also moving to these places. So it's built to be sat down while with a controller.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a weird little one, but it's very just Justin Roiland yelling at you for the whole thing, which is...
Accounting Plus is one I put on, like, with whenever someone wants to have a go on the VR headset kind of thing. It's like, it's definitely like, if that person has that sense of humor, that's the first thing I put them in, because it's a great little fun VR thing.
I've not played Plus, I played the original.
I don't know if I've even unlocked any of the stuff that is Plus, so probably I've only played Accounting, I don't know. But it's really good, very cool stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, so, right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the show now. So, Steven Universe Future, what are your thoughts on Steven Universe?
I've never seen Steven Universe. There we go. We're done. Let's move on.
Whoa, we are not fucking done.
Dan, I'm really busy at the moment,
mate.
We've been talking about this.
And I'm going to put it out here now. The best cartoon. The best one.
I know, but...
It's the best one.
I know, but...
It's like Steven Universe... Gravity Falls? That's really fucking good.
Seen that
what
either.
Else has he got in there? No. You haven't seen Gravity Falls?
No, I'm an adult, Dan.
You can get completely to fuck.
No, I need to get to it. I do need to get to it.
All I can see behind you is stacks of fucking Lego and cuddly toys.
That's adult Lego.
Fine.
Lego is a therapeutic
tool. I know that we say that as an excuse to buy fucking Lego, mate. You can't shit on me with my own lies.
That's cool. I get it. I've still not seen Adventure Time either. I'm way behind the curve on all
this. I don't like
stuff.
Adventure Time. There you go.
Adventure Time. Brilliant. There we go.
Adventure Time's got that cartoon problem of it just being too many like zany faces and stretchy characters that I don't like. Whereas Gravity Falls, like, it's two seasons. It's complete. You watch Gravity Falls and it's like just the fucking X-Files and it's mad and it's brilliant. Mm. And then it ends perfectly and you're like,
that was
satisfying.
I like that. I like a show that knows when to... Go away.
Yeah, it's a two-season show. They made two seasons, then they fucked up.
I'll get to it. Once I'm not in the current absolute storm I'm in right now, work-wise, I will I will make some time for TV.
I know you. You're never going to be out of that fucking storm.
I'm sorry.
And I know that because I'm in the exact same fucking storm.
We shouldn't moan. We have fun jobs. It's good.
Oh, God, I hate my job.
Do you hate your job?
I get to the bit where I'm writing and I'm like, oh, I need to do this bit, but I just don't want to.
Do you find writing today. Really? We're nearly half an hour, and I want to see if we can get to half an hour without mentioning Doctor Who. Do you? I hate writing.
I love
having done it, but the actual process is just never fun.
When
for
you
me.
Read it back and you go, "Oh, it's not terrible."
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the best feeling in the world.
Draft 7, where you're like, "That's actually working now. That's good." But doing the thing in the first place, I just can't stand it. Which is not self-deprecation, because I do thoroughly enjoy making video games. I enjoy the rest of the process. I like working with the team. I like coding. I like doing all the other stuff I do. But just sitting down and writing is just the most boring, stressful thing ever.
See, it's not stressful. It's just that pure anxiety of like, do whatever. And I'm like, no, I need a few minutes. No, you do whatever. And I'm like, no. That's why, like, my plot is like fucking done. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Just
no,
done.
I've got the spreadsheet with the
oh, no, I
don't,
never
spreadsheet.
Do
you not spreadsheet it?
One document. I'm normally spreadsheet for everything else in my fucking life, but when it comes to the script, it's got to be a document I can read from start to finish.
Huh, okay. Oh, I'm very much about the post-it notes and the record cards, and then that becomes a spreadsheet, yeah.
They will go on that wall eventually, the post-it notes, but I believe they're not necessary because I did a very thorough job.
Okay.
But then, yeah, it's like, because I'm like, I'm going to start writing this bit now, and I'm like, okay, so I've started earlier than I thought I would in this character. It's like, okay, now I've added all this bit. Okay, fuck it, I might as well describe how the economy works on the moon. And then I just carry on, and then eventually I'm like, oh no, this chapter needs to be about this one character.
It can't. For me, it's jokes. I'll just get really into writing a funny bit of dialogue that has absolutely no value to anything I'm doing story-wise.
I'm not going to tell you. It was great. It's staying in the book.
Cool.
I was going to say, it's a joke I wrote today that I thought was genuinely brilliant. But unfortunately, it necessitates the fact that I go off on a bit of a tangent for a while, but that's going to be a bit of a theme of the book, I feel.
I think that's a bit of a theme of you in general, isn't it, as we come into our 28th minute of the podcast. It's a Douglas Adamsy thing, isn't it? It's just you kind of wander off a little bit. And
I did classify my book to someone today as if Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy had ADHD.
Okay,
because that's my writing style. It's like I hope you just enjoy stupid little tiny stories about this world, because they just keep popping in my head, and if I don't write them down, I'm gonna have to write another fucking book about them.
I think that's good. And it's also, you know, when you sell the TV rights, that's what they're gonna build all the episodes out of. So there you go.
Never TV rights. They're not allowed.
No,
it's banned.
Banned.
I will not have it made into. I'm deliberately writing it so it can't be made into TV.
What, do you have a problem with money, or
I have a problem with working in TV?
Well, you would.
If I write
you don't
a
have
book,
to work
it's
in TV.
My fucking
it's,
book.
Have you seen all the quotes from the I can't remember.
Who does The Witcher?
The Witcher guy. Like, his quotes are fantastic.
Don't give a shit, mate. I've sold it. Loads of money.
Yeah, exactly. It's the good on him. Good on him.
Yeah. You fucking need. Anyway, should we talk about Doctor Who?
Probably should. All these people are listening and they're wondering when the hell we're going to. Before we look at the website you always look at to tell us what the right answer is, what was your view on it? Did you like it? Do you hate it?
It was a really interesting. It started off incredibly strong. The pace was going do, and it just near the end just kind of lost its way and just over muddled itself, and then went and kind of
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. I'd say the same thing. I think 80% was genuinely fantastic and very just characterful and well written. Like, I laughed at a few jokes. I cared about the characters. The characters spoke in different voices. Like, in terms of the writing, like, it felt like someone had sat down and actually worked out what Yaz should say that wasn't just a line that you could give to any other character.
Let's be perfectly honest. Ryan had to ask, I don't know what's going on, about 4 or 5 times.
That's true.
In the episode. We should do a tally for that. Every time Ryan asks what's going on,
or
English, please. That's literally, he could be replaced with a robot with a cassette tape that has 2 second loop of someone going, English, please, Doc.
I don't know. I think he had a couple of good lines. He had some good moments. I liked, there was the it doesn't have to be good. Well, good, because that's what you're going to get, or something like that. That was funny with the dissection. And what was the other one he did that I liked? I can't remember. But I like the cat in Ontario that's Hawks, but I'm not worried about her at the moment.
I said that's connected.
Yeah, I don't think that's connected. There were some good Doctor Who moments in it. I thought it was really good, but I agree with you, like those last kind of, basically the second they go into the ship, that's where it just kind of derailed for me. I kind of was like, we're just going to end this like a Doctor Who, like a subpar Doctor Who episode by having a thing that's going to just magically instant reset, fix everything.
Laser, yeah.
Literally, there could have been a red button in the middle of the room that they press. Like, it's kind of the worst. But, you know, Doctor Who often falls into that trap. Because it is, you can write yourself into a corner with this show, right? But other than that, I love.
You've got a time machine. You could be clever. And just be clever instead.
And the wittiest bit
they
of
really
Carl Ulfgom.
Because they had the scientist lady, and I was like, oh, a scientist who is trying to work on the cure but has used Earth as a bad thing. Morally interesting. Where's the doctor? Oh, she's dead. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was the thing. It felt like it set up a lot. It didn't tie off its ends right. The what was I going to say? I love the casting of the copper. In that they cast the dude who's the policeman in Luther.
Yeah.
Who's the hard as nails kind of copper. So you completely buy it in that introductory scene that he is like, you know, literally his character from Luther, and then establishing like, oh no, he's a bit of a fantasist, he's out of work, he's this kind of, like, it was just a nice, that was a very nice use of your expectations, because that guy plays cops really well in everything, and I was kind of, yeah, I thought that was quite nice.
I liked, the pacing was really snappy.
Very snappy.
Really,
that was the Ryan line I liked. Do you work out? Well, I run a lot.
I got a laugh at me as well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was kind of that Tennant era run. Basically, whenever the plot was not quite working out as well as it could, run. Like, just, there was just an energy to the whole thing, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, cut to somewhere else where some exciting shit's going on. Go over here with something spooky. Lots of places.
Thematic cohesion as well, Dan.
As what?
Thematic cohesion.
They not allowed that in Doctor Who.
No, but they did it, though, which was very shocking to me. It was very surprising. Where they established at the start, like, oh, all of life is connected, and the sky, the ground, the water. Then we have the characters from all those places. Then it's a problem that's affecting because of our disrespect for all that interconnectivity. And then you have a little coda at the end that kind of ties it off in a knot. It's like, oh, you actually had an opinion in this episode. You had something you wanted to say. Fair play.
Yeah.
I like that.
The dude in the space shuttle was about to crash into the water, and then his husband crashes through a load of bottles of water, which is like plastic coated water, is where he crashed at the same time.
That's actually, yeah, I didn't see that. That's quite cute.
That's great.
I'm pretty sure. It was just a really good episode in that sense. And then, yeah, I wish the magic red button had been disguised a little bit better. That's my only real kind of complaint. How's the forums?
With that other scientist, they had the setup of magic red button can be
an interesting kind of morally ambiguous interaction, which makes me wonder again if this was like, if it was that, and then for whatever reason, speed it up, trim it. Maybe they wanted. I can definitely see the writers, like the notes that would come back where if it were all about that scientist and about an interesting solution to the problem, that we wanted a payoff to the couple story. If it was a rewrite where they were like, no, he has to grow, he has to do something brave, because that's what the whole episode is kind of building that character towards, making a brave decision. We have to have that payoff. And if they decided to focus on the emotionally satisfying ending rather than the sci-fi satisfying ending, makes me wonder if that was a script note at some point. But again, that's a lot of leaps I'm making.
Add a button he has to hold down. That's what you want to do. Add a button he has to hold down.
And be brave.
And he'll blow up. Yeah, and be brave. Yeah. Be brave and hold down the button.
Mm-hmm. I'd also liked a solution that was international in the way that the opening was. Like, I'd have liked it to be something they had to do in lots of different places at once. That would have been a nice...
Yeah, I thought they were heading towards that sort of thing. Not just magic ship. It goes air currents. They go everywhere, don't you know?
Yep.
And nothing ever falls out of the atmosphere, apart from delicately... Yeah, I mean, that's how you do the finale, then. You have, like, the spaceship landed in a few places and be like, I'm the only one left alive and all my other friends have died and exploded during the thing.
Mm.
And then have everybody do one, but the guys, you know, so you can tease that. Are we going to kill the guys? We didn't this time! Whee!
Hey.
You know, have that as a tease in one of the places and have Yaz having to do some policing in the other, and then have the doctor and the scientist in the main one.
Yeah.
And then, like, the virus in that one gets shot by an alien.
Did this episode remember that Yaz was a cop? Did they do a joke about that? I can't remember.
Yes.
They did acknowledge it.
She said she was on sabbatical as well.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very in-joke about how she doesn't give a shit.
What's the forum say? Let's find out if we're right or wrong in our opinions.
I'll tell you what, that's what could have happened for the character, the scientist lady, instead of just exploding. She could have self-sacrificed, have the virus in the doctor's area get killed. And she's like, no, I've got it inside me, but you'll be killed. Fine.
Mm.
you know, a nice moment of...
Yeah, yeah, I think there's, it was, everything we've said just wasn't quite the ending that the episode deserved. Whereas, like, last week's was a really great episode with an excellent ending, this was a really great episode with an ending that dropped the ball. I think that was the big... I think until that point, they were about on a par for me in terms of, like, quality, until the big kind of reveal at the end of the last episode. And, yeah, a really satisfying ending on this one would have capped it off. And I'd have two favourite episodes this series.
Instead of just none. Oh, wait, one.
No, this was. I think this is a very, very strong second best episode so far for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. But for me, well, I don't, 7.5. 7.5, 8 out of 10 is where I'm aiming.
Oh, it's, for me, it's a solid 8. Solid 8, solid maybe 8. A 9. If we say last episode was 10, which it was, I'd say this is an 8, a mid-8s, mid-8s.
I will now click the link and find out...
Yeah, let's find out the scientific answer to the question.
Scientific answer to the question is... just the first response says, sorry, I think that was possibly the worst show, best episode in the show's history. It's got, it's currently sitting at 8 out of 10, is the current rest. 8 out of 10, then 7 out of 10.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about...
And 40 votes, 8.4%, gave it a 1. I don't know why the fuck they're on a Doctor Who forum.
Is that...
If that is an episode.
Because some people were sending me stuff that they were people who were politically bothered by A, that this show definitely has an opinion about environmental change, and B, that there's a gay marriage at the centre of it. Maybe it's that. Maybe that's one or both of those things have upset a certain percentage of the audience, perhaps.
I'd like to apologise to those people. We're sorry that we allow gay people to be happy in this universe and that we have actually fucked the planet with plastic.
Yeah, like this, there's just a little bit too much science in your sci-fi this week. I apologise.
Because it didn't, like, my problem with Orphan 55 was at the end it's like, all right, fuck that off. Stop doing the thing, you bastards! You know,
do you know what that is? That's, yeah, it's a good illustration of why I didn't mind it in this episode and I did mind it in Orphan 55. Is in this episode, it was a fun gimmick that was explained a new kind of alien threat and it was interesting and it was a story opportunity. In Orphan 55, it felt like they could have made their point better by not making Earth. It just, that felt like one step too far in kind of delivering the story. But yeah.
Felt like a Sonic Says in Orphan 55. Just bothered. Remember Sonic Says in the old Sonic TV show?
Yes, yeah. The more you know.
It's just, you're like, oh, here's just a lovely bit of Sonic fun time. Then he ends like, Sonic's like, hey kids, if your uncle starts fucking you, don't let him do that. And you're like,
I do.
Thanks, Sonic.
I do like the, I do like that there will have been kids that have turned to their parents and been like, is that real? Do we all have plastic in us? And it's a good thing. That's a good thing that we're talking about it, you know.
Tied into the story, got a nice Autons reference, because my brain went, Autons! Autons! Wait, no, it can't be the Autons for this reason. I'm like, that's all I need. That's all I need. I'll stop thinking about the Autons.
Yeah.
Now. The amount of episodes in Chibnall's run where I've been like, no, just mention the thing. Talk about the thing. Talk about, is it the Sea Devils? Talk about, you know, just...
Yeah, who's the writer on this one? Because the writing genuinely felt... It was Chibnall and someone, but I can't remember who the and someone was.
Someone and Chibnall.
Someone and Chibnall, apologies. Yeah. So who was that someone? Because it was noticeably better in terms of its writing, I think, this one.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I don't know who wrote last one either. There's so many episodes to scroll through. We had this... Oh, well, no wonder fucking last week's episode was good. This was Pete McTighe, who has previously written... I know he's previously written some other shit. That's okay. There's a mistake on the Wikipedia that I need to correct. he wrote Kablam.
Oh, okay.
He wrote Kablam.
You know, another episode actually with a decent setup and then kind of not quite as great as last act.
Yeah. He did, he was, Chibnall does that a lot as well. Like, The Power of Three, the Amy A.E. Rory era episode, or Lab the Doctor, where the cubes appear, or are the cubes? The spheres, I can't remember. I think it's the cubes.
It's the cubes,
and it's a really interesting mystery, and you're like, oh shit, what's going on? And at the end, the Doctor's like, wave the Sonic Screwdriver, all gone.
Yeah.
And you're like,
but I mean, to be fair, that's the biggest challenge of writing Doctor Who, I imagine, is you are, it's very easy to write a mystery, it's very hard to write a payoff, right? Like, I've been there. Like, it's very... I mean, this is why J.J. Abrams tends to write the mystery bit, because that's the exciting and easy bit, yeah.
Like, I always write the last bit first. I write the very last bit first, so I know exactly how it all goes together. and then I work out what story attaches to this really fucking cool puzzle box I built.
I'm a middle ground person because I'm a big believer as well in the journey being important, but I love a mystery plot to bring you in. I've been playing a few things recently, and I'm not allowed to say what they are, but like that do that really well.
I know when you say stuff like that.
I'm sorry.
Fucking playing God of War 2.
I've been playing God of War 2.
If it's Animal Crossing, I'm climbing through the Skype camera and I'm going
to
throw it.
Can you explain to me why? Like, I get Animal Crossing. I've never played it. Like, people really love that game to an extent that is mind blowing to me. Is it just such a good game? What is it? This is not like a judgment thing. I'm just genuinely interested because I just see so much love. More than comparable games.
Speaking as someone who just spent £330 on the special edition Animal Crossing Switch within 25 minutes of it being announced, it is legitimately one of the best things my anxiety has ever had put into its life.
Oh, okay. So it's like a hobby or a craft. It is
literally a just before bed cool down kind of game. Settles you. It's a settling game. Throughout the day, if you're like, oh, there's a fishing tournament, I'll play that for half an hour. But it's a safe space. I think that's the popularity of it. It is that safe. This is a fun space. It's beautiful. You can build it in your own way. It's not like Stardew Valley or anything like that, where there's pressures and the time skips forward and you've got battles to do. It is just a chill space, and it will always be this nice, calm, chill space for you.
Thank you. That explains the kind of level of emotion in the reaction, which is cool to see. It's great to see people loving something.
Yeah. It's literally one of those things where the most mundane detail is just going to brighten it up.
That's
like, because literally, this week we found out that the characters who previously, because you can like design your own clothes and shit, and then all the animals walk around wearing it, you're like, oh, I did that, I made that. But they can now have long sleeve versions as well as just the short sleeve versions. And I legitimately was like, I'm fucking into this. Like, this is my jam now. This is my thing. Yeah, it really is. It's just that real chill space that you get that is just a calm little oasis. That's my favorite thing about it.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I my Switch is dying. I had to buy a new Switch because my one's dying. And genuinely, when I turn my Switch on, it goes like this.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think it's a useful lie you're telling yourself, and if it puts you back in your safe space, I think it's an absolutely valid lie which you should continue to tell yourself.
Right, I'm not. This isn't about the fucking Orville and Discovery again, mate. This is proper. This is a proper broken. It's a launch day Switch. I have played more than once every day.
Because I'm on my second Switch as well, so I'm not going to judge you.
Oh, here's Captain Judgy Judge over here I'm cute.
I'm a massive hypocrite, but you know, I enjoy it. So for me, hypocrisy is my safe, comfortable space. It's something I like to do, chill out at the end of the day, just be a hypocrite for a little while.
That's fair enough. The last week's episode, Future of the Jadoon, we never said who wrote it. It was Vinay Patel, who wrote last season's, the name has escaped me, so I will gently scroll up, Demons of the Punjab,
which was a really fucking good episode. Yeah, a really good episode, yeah.
Bizarrely, Chris Chibnall's got writing credits on, I mean, he has it on that one, which makes sense, on this episode and the next one as well.
That's relatively common, isn't it, if it's a writing room kind of format. Or if it's like a script
edit. But it's on three episodes this week, he's not got that. And they are Orphan 55, Nikolai Tesla's Tower of Terror, and whatever the fuck the eighth episode is.
Okay.
Interesting. Oh, we got a two-part finale as well.
I think we'd have to, given how many pieces they're putting on the board for that. You'd have to, wouldn't you?
Oh, that's fucking
great. If you're going to have Captain Jack fighting the Master, you better spend a couple episodes over it.
You think we will actually see Captain Jack?
Oh, do you think it's just a cameo and we're all expecting too much?
I think it's he'll come back in series 13 when we're least expecting it sort of dealio.
I think that's too much of a tease. I think they're surely.
I mean, if you surprise getting back this time and then for the next season in the first episode, you're like, Captain Jack's coming back for this one. Is that a big old draw? He's a 10-year-old character, quite obscure in Doctor Who.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think you base a series on that. I think that's a great mid-season promise to make the audience. I think you promise the Master in your pilot and then you have him show up midway through. I think the way they've done it implies to me that, yeah, he'd be useful. Because they didn't even have him see the Doctor. You've got to. Everyone wants that meeting.
I know. It's the tease, man.
If that's a tease for the next season, I think that's a bit silly.
I don't know. We're going to find out.
We'll find out.
I'm now looking at who, because there's one episode. So next week we've got Can You Hear Me, which is that trailer looked genuinely quite creepy.
Mm, with the claw coming around the face. Yeah, that was great.
I like that. That was again, it does look like it's set in fucking Earth. Have we left Earth in this season yet? No, we haven't.
Not permanently, no.
No, we haven't left Earth in this season. In fact, we didn't leave Earth since the Battle of Raskor Av Kolos, which I had to look up because who the fuck remembers that title? The end of season. When was that episode? Since the 9th of December 2018, we haven't left Earth for an episode of Doctor Who.
I mean, to be fair, part of me wonders if that was actually the plan for this Doctor initially anyway, and we weren't going to get the TARDIS back as quickly. How many episodes in were we before the TARDIS was available?
Episode 2. Got it back in episode 2.
I think Chibnall's plan might have been, because that's, oh god, which Doctor was it that was on Earth for, like, when the budgets were really low, when you had,
The majority of them, really, with no, fucking what's, what was Betty it, or whatever. What was the car called? What was the car? They had a car, Betsy or Betty.
Yeah, it was the, where you introduce UNIT and all of that stuff. It was, I can't remember.
It was the second Doctor, Troughton, wasn't it? No, third Doctor, sorry, with the Kung Fu skills.
Yes.
The names escape me. I can't remember the fucking car's name now. Do you remember when he had a talking penguin?
I do not, no.
Bessie! That was the name of it. The lovely yellow thing.
Yeah, so I wonder if there was a plan to stay a bit smaller for a bit longer.
Frobisher was the name taken by a companion of the 6th and 7th Doctors. He was a penguin.
Nice. Just in case you'd forgotten, you were basically making a podcast every week about a children's television programme.
Yeah, but as I've said, Gravity Falls and, you know, Steven Universe, literally the best shit I've watched has been children's television programs.
Fair play. Fair play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best stuff.
No, I've seen a couple of people asking if we can continue this past Doctor Who into fuck yeah sci-fi. As long as it doesn't become fuck yeah children's television, I'm on board.
Fuck yeah, Gravity Falls! Fuck yeah, Gravity Falls! Fuck yeah, Steven Universe, if you think The Good Place can break your fucking heart, Jesus Christ.
No, to be fair, like, both Gravity Falls and Steven Universe are genuinely shows I'm going to watch at some point, but just, yeah, at the moment, just...
Hey, in the comments, what show should we move
what
on to?
What children's show should we make Mike watch?
Fuck yeah, the Nickelodeon reboot of The Crystal Maze that's just started airing in America.
Who hosts it now?
I don't know. However, the theme song is fucking spot on.
Okay.
And it's families as well. It's families going into it. It seems like whoever's brought it over has gone, I fucking love this. I must make this somewhere where they'll not ruin it with Richard Iwadi.
Also, it's not Richard Iwadi, because that was the one I thought.
Not Richard Iwadi.
So that was okay. It was a different one. Okay.
That was awful. I could not get through that. I can't stand Richard Iwadi in that role. He's so funny, and it's Richard O'Brien's role. And occasionally a Tudor Pole's role. I just like saying that. But Iwadi brought nothing to that. I love Richard Iwadi, but no, he fucked that right up. So this one episode by Maxine Alderton, which is our episode 8, which we don't have a title for yet, exclusively written by her, no Chibnall interference, has written 3 episodes of The Worst Witch.
Okay.
No, sorry, 2 episodes of The Worst Witch and 114 episodes of Emmerdale.
So I'm gonna stand up.
That's it.
I'm gonna stand up for that. Have you ever, like, soap writers are genuinely some of the best writers? Have you ever encountered
soap writers?
This?
Are fucking insane. Anybody who works acting, production, writing of soaps, they are all mental lunatics who work harder than anybody
That's
else
right.
on television.
Because they got a script for a soap opera has to be done, like, I think normally in a few days or a week, or obviously there's pre-prep or whatever, but those guys work. If you want to see, like, a consistent, solid writer, go to a soap opera. People sneer at them, but, like, some of the best writers I've encountered.
That's where the BBC fires you in. Yeah. If you get, like, a job on BBC, they're like, all right, we're going to put you on EastEnders. And some people I see going, like, why? Why would you put me there? And I'm like, because it's a fucking meat grinder.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to see if you can write
fast. So that genuinely excites me. Someone who's written 100 episodes of Emmerdale is probably a pretty good writer. So
That was in a week. That was in a week, man.
That was in a week, yeah. Yeah, they write them all in the first week of January for the whole year. Oh, that's not true.
114 episodes in 7 years.
Yeah, that makes sense, because, yeah, if she's on a team with... Yeah, that makes sense.
That's madness. So, yeah, I mean, it's always someone literally brand new who I've never fucking heard of is always, always welcome in Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
Always welcome in Doctor Who.
Exciting.
I want these new voices and silliness, and we don't even know what the episode's about.
It's going to be the Captain Jack episode. No. No, it's not. So
what writer do we have for Captain Jack? I know, Emmerdale.
Again, Emmerdale, man, I'm telling you, someone who's written that many episodes of a soap opera can probably write anything.
Have you seen, we mentioned it before, you watch Rehullistapur.
I've listened, my girlfriend's obsessed with it, so I catch the episodes she's got on sometimes, yeah.
The one, I think it was Barry from EastEnders. Were some people from, was it Barry from EastEnders or is it Emmerdale? They've had a few soap people on there. And he's going like, you know, Ian Beale's had his, like, you know, he's doing that the thing where he's broken down and he's got to do crying and stuff. And that's like his 10th breakdown, 10th total mental breakdown TV. And every time he's got to bring something new to it, no other fucking job in the world ever has that.
No, the craft that goes into those shows is genuinely impressive on all levels.
All right, I'm going to pitch something to you right now. Let's, and we're going to write it together. Sci-fi soap.
Sci-fi soap. So what you want to do is you want to take a format designed predominantly for the production of cheap, frequent episodes, and you want to add an element to it to make it prohibitively expensive and difficult to write.
Yes.
I'm in. Let's do this. This sounds... What could go wrong?
It already exists. It's called Deep Space Nine. It's pretty much, isn't it? That is, if you wrote a sci-fi soap, it's Deep Space Nine.
Basically, yeah. Well, already serialized. It's Discovery. It's any kind of serialized Trek. And that's, to be honest, that's the other thing. That's the thing HBO have been really good at, is because I am watching this. Yeah, Big Love, which is just a soap opera. It's just a really high production soap opera with amazing actors. And it's, yeah, there's like most of the HBO oeuvre is just basically soap operas. Sopranos is a soap opera. It's got a good gimmick, but like it's a soap opera. And I think I think we as a society, it's time we started to respect the craft and work that goes into those shows. And yeah, let's make a sci-fi one and just, like, absolutely fuck it up.
I don't know. Set it on a space station.
Yeah.
Do some sort of, like, focus it around Quark's Bar, you know, your EastEnders level thing. And just have loads of people who live on a space station.
Yeah.
And you never have aliens or anything invade, but every now and then someone fucks off out
of
the airlock.
So why is it sci-fi then, other than that you... just so you could have some makeup?
I don't know. Let's go and ask Avenue 5. Why are you Avenue 5? Why, a sci-fi comedy?
Why are you Avenue 5? Why Avenue 5?
Why Avenue 5? No, you know, it's how you kill people. If they get hit by a helicopter that hit a train that fell out of a windmill, that's a soap death. Whereas if they get flushed out of the airlock, sci-fi death. You know, that then that's sense.
It's a brilliant idea that I think we should secure funding for. I'm going to DICE next week. I'll run it by some executives. we'll get some funding in place and we'll make it happen.
I always wanted to write a soap opera about professional wrestlers.
That's just wrestling.
Ah, but it's outside of the ring, so that it ties into the wrestling.
Do you still have the wrestling in there as well?
Oh, yeah, no, the wrestling is in between things, but in the backstage.
So it's postmodern wrestling you've invented.
Yeah, I mean, instead of people going like, I'm going to kill him, it's just kind of they go back home and they like open the door and then their music plays for a few seconds because, of course, it has to while the door's open.
Wrestling, but less interesting. That's what you've come up with. Wrestling,
I mean,
but less so.
Wrestling, but somehow more pageantry.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. You know, you've got Undertaker coming home and the sink's not been cleaned and he's like, God, right, and he throws him through a table. You know, it's great. Who the fuck going to watch this show?
well, let's make it and find out who the fuck doesn't watch it. my guess is quite a few.
Fine, fair enough. What the fuck? Doctor Who, which we talked about for a good 3 minutes.
That was good. But to be honest, that's the thing, is it was a good episode. Didn't have much to necessarily talk about. It was a solid, well-written episode. Lots of good gags. Nice mystery at the core. Not a great payoff.
Yeah. Message, I wouldn't say it was over. The bird looked like it had been fucking stuffed with a Tesco's bag. But apart from that, it was a... Yeah, I would have rather a little bit there. You know what? I think that's kind of what they were going for. And I don't think they overdid it. It wasn't well from 55. It tied into the story in several ways.
To be clear,
ways.
This is... It's all true. Like, we
Yeah,
we
like,
have
this is happening,
this.
People. We are
real.
Fucked. I am breathing plastic right now. Like, right now.
So...
It tastes fucking great.
It does. It's tasty plastic. It's a sweetness to it.
Is plastic vegan? It's made of dinosaurs.
It's true, but dinosaurs are mean, so that's the rule of veganism. You're allowed to eat.
I don't think veganism is morally wrong creatures.
I mean, if you can prove to me that a chicken was a bit of a bully, then I can eat it. That's how it works.
Just shave a swastika into a lamb. Just put a hood over a little cow and then just be like,
it's a racist cow.
A racist lamb, that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a racist lamb, anyway. So.
It's like Dexter, but with eating. So.
When people say Dexter, my brain immediately thinks of Dexter's Laboratory.
Okay. Another children's cartoon. There's a theme emerging.
I've never seen Dexter, the serial killer.
It was really quite good for about two or three seasons. And then there were five more seasons. Yeah, the second, like, I think it was like once Lithgow appears, it's rubbish. But Lithgow's amazing, obviously. But like, it goes downhill.
Yeah. Most TV does. But not Doctor Who. It lives forever. We had one of the best episodes ever last week, and this episode was pretty good.
Yeah, this was like genuinely like if this was the baseline, I'd be very happy. But I think it was a great episode. I think it was really great. I think if last week's episode hadn't happened, we would be giddy.
Yeah, we'd be giddy that they knew how to tell a competent story, which I think is 90% of what we were excited about last time.
I feel like that's most of our criticism. Right?
Oh my god! Like it was a surprise. There was what?
No, it's really good. I'm hoping they do a hat trick with next week's episode.
Can you hear me? Is the name of the episode?
Mm.
I wasn't just checking.
I'm guessing they can.
Probably. What if they can't? What? What if it's like Weeping Angels, but if
they
you
can't
can
hear
them, they
yeah. Move.
that's just blind people. That's all that is, blind people with knives. Just blind people with knives. That's
you're on your own here, Dad. You're on your own.
That is the plot of a 90s FPS. It's like, you're in a sewer, there's blind people with knives. Fucking go on. Oh, come on, we've all played that.
Blind people with knives. I've never played that. No, I've never played that.
You didn't play Blind People? Great game it was. Yeah. It's great. The expansion pack was great. Deaf people with knives.
I'm just going to move the conversation on. I do want a new great Doctor Who monster. That's my new one.
Gimmick. Give me a Doctor Who gimmick monster.
Exactly. A gimmick monster that can be massively overused over the next 5 years because everyone loves it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Give us one of those. There's almost been kind of an avoidance of monsters in this series, I think.
Like, it's because they're all on fucking Earth.
They haven't left Earth. That's a good point, yeah. That's a good point.
Well, so what monster we had? We had Dalek in Resolution. That's technically the last season. Spyfall Part 1 and 2 was things that didn't actually come to Earth that were alien.
It was Bloom. It was PS2 era Bloom was the monster in.
Oh my god, it was PS2 era Bloom. Oh, Shadow of the Colossus, you beautiful game. Orphan 55, the monster was all of us along.
Yeah.
Nikolai Tesla's Night of Terror, the monster. Oh, that was a monster, but it was just the Rachnos again.
Yeah.
Refusing to say the word Rachnos for some reason. That's the problem I had with this episode fixed before it happened. It was like, plastic monsters, I went, Autons. It was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, the Doctor could have gone, you look like the Rachnos. No, we're not. Oh, I'm sorry. Fugitive the Jadoon was the Jadoon, but they're not new.
Established, yeah.
And the Gallifreyans, they're not new.
No.
And pansexuality, that's not new.
No.
In Praxis, it was sex pollen, whatever. I wasn't really paying attention to the episode.
Sex pollen. I mean, from a scientific basis, all pollen is sex pollen. That's the whole purpose of pollen is sexual reproduction.
You know the pollen I mean.
Pollen is, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. Comment if you're a botanist, but I'm pretty sure all pollen is sex pollen. Sex pollen is that if we named episodes of this podcast, sex pollen would be the name of this episode.
I've just come up with a tortured idea.
Stop it.
This is a tortured idea, right?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Right, After
this is,
hours.
This is great, right? So,
yeah.
Cam Jack comes back from the future, gotcha. And he's caught an STD.
Okay.
But, right, because it's from the future, it's mutated, so what does an STD want you to do? Have sex with everything. So the episode's just everyone having sex with each other, spreading this STD, because that's what an adapted STD would want everyone
isn't
to
that
do.
Just the isn't that just a normal Torchwood episode?
Oh, that's just every episode of Torchwood. That's a mistake there.
You've invented Torchwood. What you'd have to do is you'd have to come up with a way that what you just described could be stuck into just a 5 to 10 minute section of the episode that they could cut. When they show it earlier in the... Do you remember they used to do that with Torchwood? They cut out all the shit?
Oh, they did. They did the kids...
They did the kids' version.
I didn't watch any of those. How did they do
hilariously. I remember there was like... I think it was like the... Is it the first episode where there's like a fish guy who's like high on cocaine?
The second episode's like a guy who fucks people and then they die.
Yeah, it's like basically all of them just changed. I remember the fish guy high on cocaine was like, he's caught some alien disease that's making him froth at the mouth and this white powder might mean something. Yeah, they were weird. They were worth watching. I always watched them because I thought they were fantastic.
I didn't know they were like that different. I definitely should watch them. I love censorship though. Like I once on a plane watched Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Which was a 23-minute episode about some really religious men going door-to-door. And that was it. That's all that sort of happened. Nice. And yeah, it was great.
I love that stuff. Yeah, the number of times I've got off a plane in the media to re-watch a film just to like see what I missed, essentially. Yeah.
Plane censoring is the weird... Like, that's I watched Iron thing. Man 3 on a plane, which features a plane exploding, and they kept the plane exploding in, but took out like another bit that's just nothing, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Who did this?
There was I remember when Sully came out, the one about the plane that crashed in New York. Is it the Hudson? Yeah. Yeah. And that was just I have to fly a lot for work, so it was just like for a year. It must have been a really popular film on planes because it was for a year that was on the in-flight entertainment. You're always like, who is watching that? who is watching that movie? I get uncomfortable watching, like, I watched First Man on a plane, and as they were taking off, we hit turbulence. So I was in the plane, like, shaking around, as on screen Ryan Gosling is shaking around, you know. It was very immersive and terrifying.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I don't understand why anyone would watch anything like that on a plane.
Are you sure it wasn't? It might not have been a screen. It might have just been a hole cut out of the chair in front of you, and Ryan Gosling could see on the other side.
That's it. Yeah, I was flying Ryan Gosling class. It's a very special secret class they have on planes where you get to sit next to Ryan Gosling.
It's a secret dimension, but it's actually two curtains. That curtain they draw over to first separate the classes off. That you can fill through there. Yeah. You go there down there about 50 meters
because he's flying class. In a much cheaper class called Mike Bithell class. So it's kind of there's a perfect combo there. It works.
Yeah. It's good. Anyway, that's Doctor Who.
That's a Doctor Who episode, yeah.
I'd watch the shit out of that. It's like a mirror in a plane, but there's all the mirrors on the plane are showing the future and the plane's crashing and the Doctor has to save the day.
We've had one plane crash episode this series anyway, so I feel...
Yeah, all from 55.
That's... End of the episode. And yeah, we've peaked. Thanks, everyone. Like and subscribe. Bye.